And the time will be our time, and the grass won't be no more.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show. I'm Bruce Allen, your host, and we're going to be joined by Sherilyn Laban for Political Rap, although we might talk about kids as a second language. Sherilyn is co-chairman of the Project 21 National Advisory Board. She's got a whole host of other really impressive things on her resume, but I'd rather speak to her than talk about her. Welcome back to the show, Sherilyn.
Always great to be with you, Bruce.
I need to alert you that I've been cutting short my first segment a little so I could have more time with you, so I need you to call a couple minutes early.
You did not
miss anything. I just didn't inform you of that. So the topic today is kids as a second language and our kids' slang. I love your thoughts on that, and I am very open to anything you'd care to share and discuss regarding what's taken place in the last week since we spoke about Washington. So I turn it to you, my dear.
Well, let's talk about language and kids, and I thought it was really wonderful when you talked about how you drive carpool, and I love carpool. And I also drive carpool because I think it's a great opportunity to, number one, download with your kids on the day, but number two, also kind of find out what they're discussing. And I always find that recess is a very interesting time at school. I call it the Lord of the Flies time, right? Because that's when the fights occur. That's when the mean girl behavior occurs. That's when the boys start using poor language. I mean, all sorts of stuff occurs.
Especially in middle school, it really gets out of hand. It can start, of course, in the higher grades at elementary school, too.
Unfortunately, it does start.
Yeah, I'm sure. I want to just make our listeners clear so they know the context. Since you read the column, and while I hope every listener has read my column, I'm not going to assume that. What I referenced in the column is that carpool time is a really amazing time for parents to learn a lot about their kids. And one of the keys to that, in my opinion, is not making your presence overly felt. Let them interact. Let them get used to you driving and not hearing you talk and ask too many questions. Plus, at a certain age, let them take over the radio. And a lot will be revealed. So that was the context in which Sherilyn was speaking. And please feel free to continue.
So I thought that was just, it totally resonated with me, Bruce, because I feel like when I'm driving carpool, it's their time to chat. And I want to hear about the day. I want to hear what happened at recess. And I just want to observe. I just kind of want to be the quiet observer.
Exactly.
And not at all dominate the conversation, but let them just talk.
What you will learn doing that over and over again is just invaluable. However, the contrast, of course, is when you don't carpool and you just pick up your child, you will have the same conversation. So, how was school today? Fine. What did you do? Nothing. Okay, I can repeat that conversation every single... That's basically what my boys said to me every single time I had them alone in the car. So, you're not going to learn anything by just commuting with your kids. You're going to learn in the carpool environment, which is what we're both saying. Right.
Exactly. And I love carpool and wish I could do more of it, right? but sometimes it just doesn't work out that way because of the life that we're all leading with kids in multiple sports and activities and parents working and driving. So it doesn't always work out that way. But I'll tell you, when I can take advantage of it, Bruce, I really would prefer to do carpool.
Well, I'm with you. Another thing to do, by the way, that you probably could do more easily, that I don't think I actually reference in the column, is make your home the place the kids want to be. Now, how do you do that? Number one, you have it inviting, okay? Number two, you have food. Number three, you have food. And number four, you have drinks. If you have lots of food and drinks for the kids, always available, always out there. And again, you aren't in their face. They're going to want to hang at your house.
Right.
Again, wonderful opportunities, especially if they're eating in the kitchen and you're just in the background making dinner or something, or you're coming in and out, whatever. You're going to pick up things. My older son has always had our house be the meeting spot for everybody. He's back from college, and now I have all these young adults that are hanging out. Not only do I love hanging with them, and they thankfully enjoy my company, but again, I'm learning all this code and new words because every generation has them.
Right.
You know, can I segue a little? Speaking of code, let's talk about Washington.
Oh, boy.
Okay, and the code that they speak. I mean, Eric Holder just came out with a new definition for killing people via drones. I forgot what it was, but it was some nonsense language for special incursion, flight mission, or blah, 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 when in fact it was killing people. Now, I more or less support that program, but why not just call it what it is, targeted killing?
Yes, I don't know what sort of his language around that word is, as well as some of the other things that are all happening right now.
Well, terrorism is a word that Washington doesn't know how to use.
No, they don't. Well, I would say...
our administration.
Exactly. This particular administration, for some reason, does not like to use the word terrorist or terrorism. Another thing I want to talk about, Bruce, and this relates back to our children, is that yesterday I had to get to a meeting downtown, but I canceled it because I didn't want to miss this IRS hearing. And the geek that I am, I actually wanted to, I didn't want to see replays of this. I wanted to see this woman take the fifth. And what struck me is that this woman appeared at the table here in front of a congressional panel.
Lois Lerner, you're talking about.
Lois Lerner. And not only did I think she was disrespectful, Bruce, her manner was very indignant. And
how about Hillary at the Benghazi hearings? There's no there right. there. This is old news.
Right.
How dare she take that attitude?
What difference does it make now? And I thought that Lois Lerner, aside from being poorly advised by her lawyers, because the way that the Fifth Amendment, the taking the fifth works, is that the minute you sit down, you need to invoke it.
That's
right?
What is amazing. So she really did blow it.
She blew it. And, well, actually, I would say her lawyers blew it. So she invoked the fifth after she made a statement laying out all these various...
Is this clear? Are you clear on this? Because I wasn't quite clear, and a lot of the pundits last night were not quite clear if, in fact, it was... It seemed that one Republican that spoke up after she was dismissed...
Trey Gomer was very clear.
He's
a former prosecutor.
Right, so he should know.
But here's the funny thing. I am not clear on the rules of whether she can be called back, and if she calls back, what will happen. I'm not clear on that. And to be honest with you, I'm not sure a lot of people are clear, because, again, a grand jury testimony is very different from a congressional testimony.
Mm-hmm.
So I think ISA, the chairman, and this fellow who is the former prosecutor who spoke up, I think they all need to come together and figure out what the rules are regarding this. Because, again, this is not a court she was in. It was congressional testimony, and the rules are very different, Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why people were unclear. But the one thing that we are clear about is when you invoke the fifth is the minute you sit down. And oftentimes, Bruce, people don't even give their name. They just say, I'm invoking the Fifth Amendment, and won't give any information.
So what was your take on the former IRS guy? I think his last name was Shulman.
Doug Shulman.
Right, who has visited the White House 118 times, but doesn't recall anything other than an Easter egg hunt when he went there.
Again, I thought that the arrogance was unbelievable. You know, he said, the question was, what are the reasons why you need to be at the White House? And he said, for an Easter egg hunt. Which was, just kind of very glib and disrespectful to the members, I thought. He was there 118 times. They need to find out why this man was going to the White House 118 times.
And is it possible that none of this was ever discussed? I doubt. So the thing I guess I really don't understand about Ms. Lerner and Shulman is they're going to get busted. Okay, none of this stuff can ever be kept ultimately quiet. So what are they trying to do? I mean, same thing with the administration. At some point, I mean, what people forget about Watergate, it was a 2-year process. Nixon got reelected after Watergate had already been revealed, much as Obama got reelected after Benghazi, and then since then, the other things have come up. It wasn't till 2 years later that the whole Watergate thing resulted in Nixon's resignation, or he was going to be impeached out of office. So, I mean, people have to know that nowadays, people like Shulman and Lerner, not to mention any number of further people higher up the food chain, they have to know it's going to come out. Do they really think they can cover it up for the next 3 years?
I think they're trying to cover it up as long as possible, and I think they do realize that it's all going to eventually come out, but they're going to do their best to stall.
But what value does that? I don't get what they gain from it. Why not just face the music and get it over with?
You know, I think, Bruce, really, I mean, I'm not a psychologist, but I think that's part of human behavior. They don't want to, you don't want to face the music right away. Hmm. You want to stall as long as you can. Or my ironic self is saying, my jaded self is saying, they're probably waiting for better guidance from the White House.
Well, when it comes to the White House, the hubris that comes from our president is beyond pale. So I understand why the White House would not want to face any kind of music or take any accountability. But these other people, they have seen how many times people are thrown under the bus. Let's just look at what happened to Stephen Hicks. The one guy tried to do good was demoted. All the people in the IRS and involved in the State Department that did ill have been promoted. So obviously they have to know. You know, you're not going to ultimately get a real reward. It might be temporary, but you're going to get thrown under the bus.
Susan Rice.
Let's just talk about Susan Rice. Who talks about Susan Rice anymore? She's gone.
Yeah,
over.
She's gone.
She was thrown under the bus to protect Hillary, I suppose.
Right. I suppose that, and to protect Hillary's future. But I must say, Bruce, I think particularly when you have a woman like Lois Lerner engaging in the type of behavior that I saw, that I witnessed yesterday at this testimony, the sort of lack of disrespect, I think this just sends a very bad signal to our young adults.
I agree.
And I say young adults because you need to be at least a young adult to kind of understand the ramifications and perhaps what's going on. My little ones probably don't understand it at all, but a young adult, a teenager, an older teenager, a college student would understand that, hey, you've been called before congressional testimony. At best, I would have hoped, as a lawyer myself, that her lawyer would have coached her to be, I would say, humble and somewhat reflective. Now, I'm not saying she has to admit to anything. You can still be, Bruce, humble and somewhat reflective without admitting to any culpability. But this woman went to a congressional testimony indignant and disrespectful.
Well, so did Hillary. So did Hillary. Hillary was beyond disrespectful.
Uncalled for. I mean, the notion, the gentleman, Steve Miller, who talked about, our IRS agents are humble public servants. I did not see a humble public servant yesterday at that congressional testimony. She was far from humble.
Nor were the others. We're nearly out of time. Just going full circle, what slang do your children use that you've enjoyed learning about and maybe even mimicking? Can you think of any words? I mean, for me, it's chill and dope. Those are the two words that my kids love.
What did my kids say? Really? Really?
That's a big one today. Yeah.
Really? I think really is the big thing. Oh, my son uses a lot of like.
Oh, uh-huh.
And I said, young man, we really need to try and use another word besides like. And I find myself, when I'm talking to them, using like and sort of kicking myself as I go into the vernacular of grade school children. So I'm working on it as well, but I have I have adopted really in my vocabulary. Really, with the same sort of sarcasm that my almost 9-year-old uses.
Okay, now very quickly, how about when you were a young girl, teenager? Was there any word that you remember fondly? For me, it was bitchin'. Bitchin' was the word that I used. That was my generation. It was like kind of a surfer term. Was there any when you were growing up that you remember?
Yes, TTFW.
What was that?
Too tacky for words.
I love it.
That's what we used in junior high and high school. TTFW.
I think that actually sums up what's going on in Washington.
Yes.
Perfect.
TTFW.
Yes, perfect. Okay, on that note, just tell our listeners where they can find you. I'm going to have to bid you adieu.
Oh, your listeners can find me on Twitter at Harley, H-A-R-L-E-Y, LeBon, L-E-B-O-N.
Once again, thank you so very much. Love chatting with you, and I can't wait to meet you when you finally come out here.
Yes,
please.
Looking forward to it as well, Bruce.
Okay.
And happy Memorial Day.
Thank you to everyone and our servicemen and women. We will be back with Spiritual Rap after these messages.
It can lift you up. It can let you down. Take your world, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found that's stronger than love.